So first of all, I want to say a special word of thanks to Stanley and the choir for doing the Gospel Mass by Robert Ray for a third year. I think this is an amazing piece of music that people are going to be listening to 100 and 200 years from now. A work of genius by Robert Ray, who took the format of the Mass as it was done by people like Bach and Handel, which the standard format of the Mass, and translated it into both some of the language of the gospel music tradition in America, as well as the music itself. I think it's just an amazing piece, and I'm very grateful for the opportunity to hear it again. I want to say a word of thanks to our pre-Cana class. This is a pre-Cana weekend where couples come to prepare for their marriages, not for their weddings, but for their marriages. Our pre-Cana class was here, till 9 or 9:30 on Friday night. They came back at 9 a.m. yesterday, and they left. I promised they'd be out by 7, but maybe it wasn't quite. Maybe it was 7:30. And they were back this morning to do more work with Dawn in the morning. Teresa helps teach. Dawn helps teach. We have outside people to come in and to teach in the area of money and sex. It's a very intensive, tiring, hardworking weekend. But I believe that couples who put this kind of work into preparing for their marriages start with an advantage. And I think it's good for their marriage, and if their relationships are strong, I think it's good for our congregation, I think it's good for our communities, I think it's good for the world. So I want us to say a word of thanks to our pre-Cana class for the work they're doing. Would our pre-Cana class please stand? We will let you know when all of their weddings have happened so that you can keep them and continue to keep them in your prayers. We want to take a moment to pray for one another. If you'd be aware of the person on your left and aware of the person on your right, and then bow your heads. In a moment of silence, pray for the person on your left that whatever they're experiencing in life, that they may be open to the presence of the divine to encourage them in their life this hour and this week. Pray for the person on your right that wherever they are in their journey, they may know God sustaining them and keeping them. And then pray for yourself that with your head and your heart, in the weeks ahead, that you may be open to the encouragement and guidance of God's Holy Spirit. Amen. There's a classic experiment done decades ago. I think it was shortly after I graduated from seminary. It was done at Princeton University. It was actually done at the Princeton University Seminary, the School of Theology, and it involved dozens of students who were studying to prepare for ministry at Princeton. The students were gathered in one building and told they had to go to a different building to give a talk, and they would all be sent out one at a time to go to the other building where they would give a talk. They were put in two different groups and each told a different topic that they would have to talk about. It was an experiment. On their way to give the talk one at a time, this was prearranged, but they had no idea that, each one of them came across a person in need, a stranger slumped in an alley, groaning, semi-conscious, someone obviously in trouble. These now, remember, were seminary students preparing for ministry. A majority of the students did not offer help of any kind. In fact, a majority of the students did not even stop to check on the person. Seminary students studying to become pastors. The students, remember, were divided up into two groups, and they were given two different topics that they would prepare to talk about. One group was told that they would have to talk about different jobs that a seminarian might like to take after they graduated. The other group was given a Bible passage to read and then told that they would have to preach a short sermon on that Bible passage. The Bible passage they were given to read was the parable of the Good Samaritan. Now, here's one of the shocking findings of the experiment. Students, seminarians preparing to be pastors who had just studied the parable of the Good Samaritan and were on their way to give a sermon about the parable of the Good Samaritan were no more likely to stop to help a hurting person slumped in a doorway than people who were not thinking about the parable of the Good Samaritan at all. Apparently, it is not just studying the story about the Good Samaritan that causes someone to become one. So, what's the bottom line finding of this experiment? Well, the bottom line finding is that Princeton is a Presbyterian seminary. No. The obvious implication is that it is easy for there to be a gap between what we say we believe, what we preach, and what we actually do. It is very easy for there to be a discord, a disconnect between what we practice and what we preach. Right now, we're taking a few minutes every Sunday, September and October, to look at our Foundry Church core values that we have developed over the last year or longer. So I'd like you to get them out. You'll find them inside of your bulletin, the very last page. Today, we are spending just a few moments on the third core value: we serve God by serving others. The second of Christ's greatest commandments is to love each other. We make personal commitments to work with people in our neighborhood and around the world. And each Sunday during this series, we're talking about ways we try to live out each values and give you an example of one way, at least, that you might live out that particular value. We have a team of volunteers here at Foundry. I actually don't like to use the word volunteers for church, because we're trying to be disciples of Jesus Christ. And Jesus didn't ask for volunteers. Jesus called us. We have a group of people here at Foundry who are living out their Christian calling by serving people in our community who have been mugged by life. One of the big things they do is to help people get copies of their birth certificates so that they can get official legal ID, because if you don't have legal ID in D.C., you cannot get a job, you cannot get help from many social service agencies, you may not be able to get a place to live. Our walk-in missions core mission is IDs, but they do other things. They give clothing from our clothing closet to people who need clothing. They give sandwiches made by our Sandwich 100 mission team to people who are hungry. They know who else offers services in the city, and they connect people. They do referrals to other services. One of our walk-in volunteers who was here at the early service, Alan Stewart, worked with a quiet, soft-spoken young man he met who was new to D.C. from Texas, who came to our walk-in mission for help. He had his wallet stolen. He had no ID whatsoever in a strange city. Because he had grown up in the Texas foster care system, he had no relatives to help him get his birth certificate or to sign for it. So Alan, as one of our walk-in volunteers, worked with the young man for 2 weeks to do the paperwork necessary to get his ID. And sometime later, Alan ran into him coming out of the Safeway with a huge smile on his face. He told Alan that he had his ID and that things were finally falling into place for him. So we're thankful for all our walk-in volunteers. I know some, who's with us, who's a walk-in volunteer at this service at 11 o'clock? Would you raise your hand if you're a walk-in volunteer? Look at the people whose hands are raised back here and there and there. And if you want to know more about our walk-in mission, please find them after worship or contact Ben, who's our interim. Ben, raise your hand, who's our interim social justice minister, and they can let you know more about walk-in. But walk-in is only one way to live out the value of serving God by serving others. If you go to our ministry team page on our website, you will find many more ways to serve. The question is this value of helping others a pathway in your spiritual journey of life that will help you grow as a follower of Jesus at this particular time in your life? Not everyone will grow as a result of living out this particular value. Maybe this is a time when you need to focus on study. Maybe this is a time when you need to focus on caring in one of our support groups. But we want each of us to be asking the question, what value do I need to live out right now so that I can most grow in my discipleship? There was one finding in the Princeton study that was very significant. Here's what the Princeton experiment really discovered. Even though a majority of the seminary students did not stop to help, even after studying the parable of the Good Samaritan, they found that there was one variable that caused the students to be more likely to stop and to help someone else. One variable. And that variable was how busy they were, how pressured they felt by their daily life. Those students who were given a relatively short time to get to the building to make their speech, almost none of them stopped. If they were given a little more time, they were more likely to stop. And those who were given the most time were 600% more likely to stop than those who were given little time. We all care. We all want to be like the Good Samaritan rather than the priest and the Levite who rushed by. The question for most of us is, have we made our lives so busy? Doing what we do every day, our work and our pleasure, that we have not left space in our lives to even notice those people around us who've been mugged. Are we too busy? Do we need to reorder our lives?